I can beat the night. I'm not afraid of thunder. I am full of light. I am full of wonder. Oh, 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 I ain't falling under. Oh, 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 I am full of wonder. Though our feet might ache, the world's upon our shoulders, no way we gon' break, 'cause we are full of wonder. Oh, 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 I ain't falling under. Oh, 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 I am full of wonder. This light is contagious. Go, go tell your neighbors, just reach out and pass it on. Ooh, yeah, this light is contagious. Go, go tell your neighbors, just reach out and pass it on. Oh, 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 I ain't falling under. Oh, 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 I am full of wonder. When everything feels wrong and darkness falls upon ya, just try sing along. This is a message for your brothers. If your heart turns blue, I want you to remember, this song is for you, and you are full of wonder. Oh, 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 I ain't falling under. Oh, 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 I am full of wonder. Oh, 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 I ain't falling under. Oh, 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 I am full of wonder.
Good evening, everyone. And thank you, Minnal. What a beautiful song. I hope you're all full of wonder and not going under. So, and you'll take that message home with you. And that was a song by Emily Sande. I guess some of you would remember her from the Olympics. She sang at the opening ceremony very, very powerfully. And that was a moment, I think, wasn't it, when we felt like we were one family and we shared a vision. So tonight we're going to explore some of the ideas around that theme of being our world family and the vision we hold. My name's Sarah Eager. I'm a psychiatrist by profession, and so I've had plenty of opportunities to hear many, many people's stories from many cultures, many different religions, many different ages, and many different states of mind. So I'm very aware of how when you hear people's stories and you really understand what's on their minds and what's troubling them, how you do come to feel like you are part of one world family. Before we get going with the rest of the evening, there's just a couple of practical things I need to tell you about. And you can, hands up, what do you think the first one is? Turn off your mobile, yes. Please check. Invariably, I notice, I've been at many talks and people say this, turn off your mobile, and then just when we're in the middle of a deep meditation, somebody's mobile goes off. So please, please do turn it to silent, turn it off, give yourself a break from that screen and those messages and that input just for you know, a few minutes tonight. We're not expecting a fire alarm, but if there is one, a continuous bell, then just follow the ushers who you can see all around the hall. They've got the red sashes on, so follow them. And we'd like to ask, how many are here for the first time? Quite a few, Yes, probably about a third. So welcome to our house, Global Cooperation House, and we're delighted that you've been able to make the journey on this rather cold evening to join us. And I'd also like to welcome everyone who's joining us on the webcast. So this event is being webcast, and so there may be people from all over the world actually tuning in, and so we welcome you as well. Just a couple of words about the Brahma Kumaris, for those of you who are here for the first time and may be wondering, who are these people? What do they do? We're a spiritual organisation, and uniquely we are run by women. This is quite an important aspect of the work of the Brahma Kumaris. We obviously do also include men, but women are the main teachers and the leaders, and this was absolutely revolutionary in the 1930s in India when it was started. I can't tell you what a cultural revolution that was at the time, and we're incredibly blessed and lucky to have one of those founding teachers, students with us today, and that's Daddy Janki, who you'll meet in a little while. So just getting back to the topic then, what's drawn you here tonight? I'm sure, like me, you're all wondering what on earth is going on. I mean, really, the news we hear every day is getting more and more disturbing, more and more violent, and certainly I know people that I've spoken to are getting quite anxious and really wondering what's happening. Even today, the news in Ukraine, obviously, IS, Syria, all over the world, there are things that are very disturbing, and I think we're all wondering, where's this all leading us? Where are we going with all these things? And we are bombarded by a lot of negative information. I heard a statistic that, in fact, we are confronted by 175 newspapers worth of information every day. So if your brain's feeling a little bit tired, maybe that's why. Okay. And I was very struck, I don't know about you, but I know when the Pope was in the Philippines recently, and there was this young girl who said to him, many children are involved in drugs and prostitution. Why does God allow these things to happen to us? These children are not guilty of anything. And I think that's a pressing theme, isn't it? It's somehow innocent people, women and children, are really suffering in a way that we're being exposed to and we're becoming aware of. And he said, she is the only one who's put forward a question for which there is no answer. He couldn't answer that question. And she was not even able to express it in words, but rather in tears. And so maybe these are some of the things we might think about tonight. And another thing I was aware of is just the tendency that we have in society and in culture today to blame someone else. And it seems like everyone is blaming somebody for something. And how do we rise above this tendency to point the finger at someone else? And this sense of this fear we have of the other. And how can we really join together and feel the common humanity that we all share in a deep, deep way? So I think we're very, very lucky to initially have a conversation between two extremely experienced people. So we have tonight with us Emily Buchanan, and Emily is a world correspondent for BBC, and she's extremely experienced in world affairs. She's been a religious correspondent and has had an interest in the developing world, and now does the World This Week with the BBC World Service, and is really has been exposed to lots of issues all over the world, and we're delighted that she's come with to be with us this evening to share her thoughts and to be in dialogue with Sister Genty. Sister Genty is the European head of the Brahma Kumaris, and I was recently told a statistic that she has travelled to 92 countries. Pretty good record, lots of air miles, but lots of exposure to many, many different cultures as well, and I think has a very interesting perspective on the world situation from having spoken to so many people, been to the climate change conferences with the UN, and can see the issues that people are struggling with and really trying to think what are the spiritual solutions to these issues. So I'd like to invite Emily and Jenty to come up onto the stage and to allow us to eavesdrop a little bit on their conversation while they have a discussion about some of these issues.
It's very nice to be here, actually, after a kind of heavy day in the office, dealing with all these conflicts, just to be able to sort of take a break and take a pause, because somehow there's something about this building, you always feel very calm. And it's lovely to be back. I was at a talk here a few years ago, and before that, actually very lucky to do a piece for BBC World TV about Daddy Yankee on her 92nd birthday. And I remember in that interview, which I just had another look at today, and it was lovely to see her doing that interview, we talked about her as the spiritual firewoman who was trying to quench the fires of conflict. So I suppose that's sort of what the Brahma Kumaris are trying to do. But I wanted to ask Sister Jyanti whether, unfortunately, the record since 2008 of quenching those fires of conflict hasn't been all that great, and the world is in a pretty dire state. So I wanted to ask Sister Jyanti whether she wanted to sort of start by perhaps some thoughts as to, you know, where the world is going, why it seems to be going so wrong, and start from there.
I'd like to begin by saying Om Shanti, a greeting of peace to my sisters and my brothers. And I think on the one side, I see negativity increasing in the world, and you rightly said that since 2008 things seem to have got worse and worse and worse, and that's what I'm also seeing, that force of negativity is becoming more and more powerful. But on the other side, I'm also seeing that more and more people across the world, not just here in London, but everywhere, more and more interested to see, is there another way? Is there a spiritual approach that they can apply in their life? And we're also seeing a lot of division in the world. There have been a lot of statistics revealed about the difference between the rich and the poor, and not just in different countries, but within one country or one city, a huge, huge divide. And so there seem to be many things going on at the moment.
All this communication that we have would increase global understanding, and that we'd all sort of know more about each other, and therefore perhaps the conflicts would seem less relevant. But it seems to me that people have almost retreated into their silos. They need their identity. They need to be more strongly in whatever nation or part of a nation they belong to, instead of sort of opening out. Maybe that's, I don't know what that's from, a fear of loss of identity, is it?
What's happened is that when there's an identity which is based on something external, maybe it's my religion, maybe it's my ethnicity, something, maybe it's a language group I belong to. As you said, we are retreating into those and holding on to those very, very strongly. But the other way would be to explore and see, well, what is our spiritual identity? And when we begin to do that, then there's a connection that we feel with the world family. When it's just the external things, maybe even color, race becomes a factor. So these things definitely do divide us, and it seems as if materialism definitely has been increasing. But I'm interested that the word materialism is very much connected with the word matter. And so when we get engrossed in matter and trapped by matter, then we lose contact with the spirituality that we have within ourselves, or even the awareness of the spirit that I am. And because of this disconnect with the self, then of course we're locked up within the externals, and there's a huge division, and that's what's causing all these conflicts everywhere.
But it's only hard hard work, isn't it, to sort of plug into that spiritual level. I mean, I used to cover religion quite intensively for a few years, and actually the more I covered religious organisations, the sort of less religious I felt, actually. And one of the least religious places or spiritual places I felt actually was Jerusalem when I went, because it was so full of people being incredibly religious, but actually kind of arguing and trying to elbow others out of the way. And it takes a lot of maturity. I mean, people here who are doing meditation, you know, we all know it takes an awful lot to kind of rise above those sort of material aspirations.
There was a very interesting image that I was given many, many years ago, and it described the situation very, very clearly. So I'll just share that image. Think about a bicycle wheel, and I stand on one side of it, and the other stands on the other side. And when we look across, there's a huge divide. We look different, the clothes we wear are different, the languages we speak are different, our scriptures are different, our belief systems are different, our food is different, the differences are just enormous. And there's nothing that connects us. But if the other goes on an inner journey, and I also do the same, and I go on my own inner journey, then we come together at the center point. And at the center point of the wheel, at the heart of all traditions and religions, are two things: the love for the one, the divine, and secondly, the values that we share. And so what spirituality is doing, which is quite distinct to religion, but although religion has as its root spirituality, when we just focus on the external side of religion, whichever religion it may be, all religion, there's this divide. But going into the depth on the inner journey of that tradition or religion, and you come to the heart, the spirituality that's there, and in that there is the unity.
But that's a message that's been coming out of India ever since Swami Vivekananda went to the West, and actually my great-grandparents entertained him in America, which was rather wonderful.
Amazing.
Yes, but you know, ever since, he's, you know, the people have been inspired by this message that all religions are equal, that there should be no religious extremism. But look what's happening in India now. I mean, only today I see that President Obama said that Gandhi would have been shocked by the communal violence. You're getting Christians being attacked by Hindus. There's more anxiety about religious identity than ever before in India.
Just an indication of what I said earlier, that everybody's got locked into the externals, and India is no exception. When I used to go to India in the 60s, India was very, very different. And today you go to India and every town, not just every city, but every town has a huge shopping mall. And so the consumer society, the material society, that's as much applicable to India as England.
You can't expect people to live in the kind of poverty that they would have lived in India for decades. Surely people deserve to come out of poverty.
There's no problem with development. And of course, if development is equal and gives everyone an opportunity to enjoy good things in life, no problem at all. But in fact, it's not just a question of development, rather it's just consumerism. And within consumerism also, the same divide between rich and poor exists today and is perhaps even more extreme than it was 50 years ago. That's probably true. And so my concern is, yes, people should have a good life, and it's very important that they should have a good life. They should enjoy the comforts that modern life can give them, but it should be with a spiritual basis which will allow the original values of the inner being to be expressed in life. And so when we lose contact with ourself, with the spirit within, this is when we've lost touch with the peace, the love, the truth, the joy. And so when I'm looking out, what I'm seeing is this difference, rather than seeing a person with whom I can connect as my brother. You know, we have this wonderful idea of the brotherhood of humanity, but the reality is that we just don't experience it. And I see that it's because we don't have that awareness of firstly who I am, and then if I don't know who I am, then I'm not going to be able to connect with you as the being within, as the light within.
I suppose it's difficult, isn't it, when India is the source of these ideas. I mean, Hinduism, it goes back hundreds of years. You know, if even in India this philosophy is struggling, what hope is there for the rest of the world?
You know, when it's night, then it's not just night in one part of the country, but it's darkness everywhere. And so at the present time, the world globally is going through a period of darkness. But not just darkness, it's coming to its point of extreme darkness. You know, there's this expression that the darkest hour is before the dawn. And I believe that that's what's happening today. That we're in this phase in which we see the huge amount of darkness, but on the other side we see the dawn breaking. We see the light shining. We see people interested in a holistic approach. We see more people interested in vegetarian diet. We see more people interested in health being approached from a holistic level, taking responsibility for their own health rather than just relying on tablets and pills. So we are seeing a difference in consciousness and a desire for a different way.
So do you see things basically getting worse?
They have got very much worse than they were a few years ago, and I think it's now reaching its climax, its peak, so that it's time for the tide to turn and things to turn around again. So I think that we are actually at that point of confluence where we're able to see both things, the negativity but also the beauty. And so if we focus on the goodness and the beauty, firstly just on a personal individual level, and I make effort to be able to imbibe that and express that in my life, then the impact I'm going to have on people around me is also going to be one that's going to inspire them. You know, the song that Minal was singing, I'm sure the person who wrote it is somebody who has deep spiritual experiences, but the song expressed all these ideas very, very well. I am that light. I am the one with that beauty, and if I remember that, I'm not going to let things push me down and go under.
Okay, so that's great, but you know, we've got Islamic State setting up a caliphate. We've got Boko Haram trying to set up their caliphate. We've got brewing wars. We've got Ukraine. We've got East and West at loggerheads over Ukraine. You know. I mean, these are all really, really dangerous situations. You're saying we're at a turning point. It's either going to get really bad and we could end up in some horrendous apocalypse, or we could turn it round. How do you turn round Islamic State?
I think it's really starting from inside. And when I begin from inside and I start creating a different state of consciousness from within, then I think that these ideas can reach out and touch many others. And Margaret Mead, the social scientist, some years ago said, history has never been changed by a mass revolution. It's always been a handful of committed individuals who believe that there's a different way, who brought about major shifts in history. So I think that we are at that critical point today where everyone who's here tonight can make a conscious choice about which direction it is they want to go in. And if they can make that decision for themselves and start moving in that direction, then I think that we're beginning to see a different wave happen.
Do you see any new Gandhi-type figures emerging?
Well, you actually quoted, I hate to use this expression, but whatever Gandhi did, yet what's going on today is quite different. So somehow we have that icon, but the reality of the legacy that's been left behind is just that memory rather than something that was transformed. And a few years ago, Dadi was being interviewed by a couple of people on the whole subject of what is greatness, not just goodness, but greatness. And one of the things that she said about greatness is that if you're good, you're good, fine. But if there's greatness, what you're doing is allowing the goodness of another individual to emerge. And I don't know how well you know Daddy and what you felt from Daddy, but certainly a number of people here would acknowledge that Daddy coming to London now and being present here has given such a boost of energy to everyone and has allowed the goodness within individuals to flourish. It was there, but maybe circumstances were pushing very strongly, but it's allowed that goodness to emerge. And so what came up from Daddy at that point when we were talking about goodness and greatness and what's needed at the moment, and you said that we have figures like Mandela, like Gandhi and so on, but in fact what we need now is not just iconic figures, what we need now is communities of greatness. And this was, it's all in a book, and I'm sure the book is down in the bookstore, by the way. But this idea that all of us have goodness and greatness within us, and we can allow that to be tapped into and expressed in our own lives here and now, not 50 years from now, but today, this minute, and carry on with it tomorrow and the next day. When we believe in that goodness for ourselves and the community in which I live in is able to come together with those inner values and that goodness is expressed, then I think you're beginning to see the transformation of the world. And I see this not just here. I've always felt that London's always been at the cutting edge in terms of spirituality and openness to receiving ideas. But I see it happening in all the places that I travel around to. Brahmakumaris now exist in over 120 countries. And wherever we are, it's been because there are people who are ready to hear this message and to be able to follow these ideas of spirituality. Whatever tradition they belong to is fine. But then what they discover is the spirit within and allowing the power of the spirit within to be expressed.
Just moving on to some of the trends at the moment. I mean, mindfulness has become a big, quite a fashionable practice. It's written about a lot in the newspapers, corporations, everyone's sort of doing it. You can get your mindfulness app and all that.
Davos.
Sort of thing. Davos, they're doing mindfulness. What's the relationship between mindfulness and what you do here?
Very connected. Because two aspects of mindfulness that are very important. One is just being aware of where I am at the present moment. Because so often we are locked into one little corner of our own thinking. And sometimes it might just be the past. Instead of understanding what's going on now, my experience of the past hour might be so strong that it's impacting me. And it's colouring what I see now. Or maybe it's even worse. I met you last year, and my experience of last year is colouring me today. And so we forget about being present, being in the moment. And so one aspect of mindfulness is just being in the moment. And then the second aspect is to be aware of what's happening inside of me. They're connected, but it's the second step maybe. And in that, turning inwards and being able to see what's going on in my own mind, I become aware of the quality of my thinking. And when I become aware of that, I also become aware I can change the quality of my thinking. Mm-hmm. And so that's very much part of Raj Yoga. Being aware of who I am, being aware of the capacity that I hold within in my own mind, in my own thoughts, my own feelings, and then further, the next step, to be able to tap into my own original qualities. This would be the next step from mindfulness, in a sense.
So you take it on. So mindfulness is like the sort of nursery slopes, and then you go on to these higher peaks of spirituality.
I think many people do that. You know, when you're going, mindfulness has become the sort of fashionable catchword. But people who practice that usually do go on to that next step anyway, of being able to turn inwards and just connect with the inner being. And then there's another step in Raj Yoga. The word yoga implies union, and that means two coming together. And so going inside, inwards, and then upwards, connecting with the divine. And I think that that's the second aspect of the story in terms of the world, family, and what's going on. We're still shy of the word God. Some are even allergic, maybe. But certainly people are shy of the word. And I think that the presence of God and the feeling of that connection and relationship with God certainly would bring a huge, huge transformation for everyone who practices this.
He said in her interview that you had to strip away the insulation on the wire and get that wire connected to the divine, and then that was it. But you had to get rid of all this sort of stuff around the wire first.
Correct. And so that's what we have to forget about, you know, the colour, the age, the religion, all the things that hold me within the silo, and move out of that.
So how are you going to, I mean, how do the Brahma Kumaris sort of get more people up to this sort of level? I mean, you're obviously doing what you can, but I mean, what kind of progress are you actually making?
The fact that the word mindfulness has come into the mainstream literature, into mainstream media, it's not just the work of the Brahma Kumaris, but there's a whole community of spiritually inclined people who are carrying these things forward. And so I see that it happened. Somebody sent me an article from the New York Times that covered the Davos program, but in particular the whole article focused on the fact that there was a meditation session. And they've had meditation sessions there for the last several years. But this time, the hall was packed, absolutely packed out. And the person who was teaching them meditation was conducting it and giving them guidelines and inviting them to come up for more sessions. And everybody was just there. It was the fashionable in thing to be in the meditation session. So I think that the idea that there can be a way to be able to combat the pressures and stresses of modern society is something that people are now understanding, and many, many people are turning to that.
And I suppose the stresses of society are getting more and more. I mean, successful people are under as much stress sometimes as people who are less successful. I mean, at every level,
Probably more. When you've got the glare of media publicity on you, that's... Well, you would know. That's a huge amount of stress, I'm sure. But Emily, I know that you yourself have spent time in silence, contemplation. Would you want to share something about that?
Well, I mean, not for a long time. I sort of feel I ought to be. I think, like a lot of people, I keep saying, oh, I'll do it, you know, when I have a bit more time, which of course is the worst thing. You're supposed to do it anyway. And I think it probably would be good in my job where, you know, we have an unbelievable amount of information coming at us all the time, and you're trying to select and you're trying to filter it and you're trying to get the most important information. And, you know, when I look at the newsroom and the BBC, this kind of throbbing kind of place with all these people running around and, you know, a huge amount of information coming in, you feel you're on a kind of digital information machine. It's quite overwhelming sometimes to feel, A, that, you know, individuals play much of a role. You know, information is becoming such a huge kind of industry now. And and also just, yes, in terms of how you sort of cope with just the sheer amount of it.
I know that when there is a huge amount of information, it's very, very difficult to see what is reality and what is it that's propaganda. And so what I've found is that if one is able to have that moment of stillness, that moment of silence by connecting with the self and going inwards, then there's a greater clarity in which you're able to see what is really going on, more so than if you just get caught up with all the information that's coming your way. So I see that mindfulness, silence, these are things that are very important, especially at this moment.
It's almost like we need it more now because there's so much coming at us all the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I suppose you got your moments of silence sitting on the bus or whatever, but now you don't because you're on the phone.
That's right, and you're walking down the street and you've got your earplugs in and it's either the phone or you're listening to other things. It's just constant bombardment that's happening.
Yes, and a lot of repetition. I think what I've really noticed is since working in news, you know, we used to have the old days, you know, the 9 o'clock news or the 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, then it became the 10 o'clock, and then we had 24-hour news. And really nothing has been the same since we've had 24-hour news. Because, and I always thought that with 24-hour news you'd get this amazing array and variety of stories and all the sort of little niche positive, interesting, wacky stories would all have lots of space. And actually, in a sense, it's been the opposite. What we've ended up with is more and more time on fewer stories because of the way the resources work. And so you get, hours and hours of coverage of one particular dramatic story. And in fact, people are only supposed to probably tune in for a short amount of it. But when you're there in the, you know, and you're working in it, you're seeing it. A huge amount of repetition. And presumably that's happening also to people sort of out there. They're consuming it, but they are actually hearing the same piece of information over and over again.
There's a very interesting research that's happened in terms of images that we see and the sounds that we hear. And within that, what happens is that when we are bombarded with negativity all the time, then that stays within us and it comes up not just within our mind, but that negativity is triggering the negative aspects within my own personality. So for example, I see a video, even a 2-minute video of Mother Teresa and what it is she was doing and the love and the compassion, that feeling of compassion stays with me not just for 2 minutes afterwards but for a period of time afterwards. But equally the other is also true. How often do we see Mother Teresa videos? More often we see videos of violence. And so when I'm seeing things of violence, then that's also triggering the negative aspects within my own personality. Because at the moment, yes, although the original state of the inner being is of goodness, and I believe that absolutely for every human being, though it sounds a bit crazy sometimes, but it's definitely there. But what's surfacing at the moment is the negative aspects. And seeing all the negativity that's coming my way, it's triggering that which is negative within me. And so you can see how on the one side it's reporting what's going on, but on the other side it's actually generating further violence. And so this vicious circle is becoming more and more intense.
Working in news, obviously, you know, the negative images are being repeated over and over again. So we're probably all really damaged psychologically, I think, after what you said. You know, you're probably right to some extent. I think what we do in our jobs, though, is sort of... I mean, I guess you have some kind of...
Filter,
and people sort of view it intellectually a bit. And even when I've covered really horrible, difficult stories... obviously you feel for the situation, but you're also saying, you know, is this film going to work? Is it the right thing? Have I got the right pictures? You know, you're kind of doing it on a professional basis. But notwithstanding all that, I'm sure it does have an effect long term. And you know, certainly when I was covering a lot of stories in the developing world, I got a bit sick of the, you know, the constant negative pictures, and I started trying to do more positive stories about development and about how countries could solve their own problems with really ingenious solutions, and that was really fun. But that sort of story now, with the budgets and all the other crises in the world, it's just, they're just not going to get made very often, because, you know, But why do people want to hear? Nobody wants to watch positive stories anyway.
But you know, there are very good stories out there. And you meet individuals, young people, very creative with ideas that can transform things. I remember in Mexico when they had the conference on climate change, the UN conference in Cancun. On the one side, it was all this huge expense going on the conference. And on the other side, there was this young man about 19 years old, and he had found a way to create fuel from some biological thing, something. And it was a wild grass or something like that. And the buses that were running back and forth, the shuttle bus service between the conference venues, it was powered by this particular fuel. And it was this young 19-year-old. And then further, we didn't hear anything more about it. And I'm sure that it's because the people with vested interests had very powerful lobbies, and so it just didn't get going. And so we live in a world in which, yes, there is that which is good, but then it gets ignored because money plays such a powerful part.
Money. I think it's partly, yes, it may be partly money, but I think, I mean, you know, you try to do your positive story, but the, you know, it isn't what news is, unfortunately. Somebody somewhere along the line has defined news as something that is dramatic and big. I mean, occasionally it's positive. I mean, you know, if we get the probe to Pluto, that becomes news. I mean, huge achievements do get in there, artistic achievements, Harper Lee's next book, you know, that kind of thing. But generally, I think the problem is people actually like sitting at home and feeling a little bit cosy and watching horrible things on their screen because it makes them feel safer. I think people have sort of analysed it, that it's like sitting in the cave and seeing the tigers outside, and you realise that you know, you're sort of okay. And people don't then want to, and also the association with good news is, of course, dictatorships where, you know, people have talked about five-year plans, it's all marvellous and the socialist revolution, and, you know, people just don't believe good news. They just think it's got to be a con. So whereas bad news and conflict is somehow more real or more honest, and of course maybe we're getting to a point where that's no longer the case, that there's just too much of it, and it's
Well, I think that people I know several people now who no longer want to watch television, they don't want to read newspapers because it's more of the same, more of the same, more of the same. And they're not necessarily meditators, but it's people out there who've made that decision that, well, if there's anything really important, I'll get to hear about it, but I don't need to expose myself to all of this anymore. And so I think that there's space being cleared now for people to start looking at things differently and to start looking at things from a perspective, not from down here, but let me go inside and create that consciousness, which is an elevated, pure consciousness. And from that stage, then let me send out good vibrations. It sounds very difficult, but yesterday we had a very powerful individual here and we had a small group of people. Today it's a larger group. But within that group, he said, is it possible for us to actually send out waves of love to those who are engaged in violence so that they begin to look at things differently and feel things differently? The power of vibrations is a reality. I think most would agree that that is so.
So we should be praying for Islamic State militants?
We should be sending out very powerful thoughts of love and light, that they should start seeing things from a different perspective, because the way they're seeing things now is that it's just ego and anger, and it's possible. Think about one individual. Here's an individual who's angry and is filled with ego, but if there's a wave of love that reaches that individual, you'd be able to see a difference in that individual. And so now we are not just seeing individuals, we are seeing like a block enemy. But rather than seeing them as an enemy, and that creates all sorts of negative feelings within myself, but if I were to see them as human beings and allow that which is good within them to emerge, it's possible.
And I suppose that's the debate, isn't it, about those who come back, say, to this country from Syria, that many are disillusioned, they want to come back, they want to have normal lives, and it's mm-hmm. but it's very difficult, isn't it, because people
are seeing them differently.
Them in a certain way.
And so yeah. What is the vision that I hold of another? Mm. Am I able to hold that vision that this is my brother? And yes, he's been through a different experience, but if today he's made a decision that this is the life that he would like to have, let me support him in that.
It's difficult though, because probably there's quite a lot of real sort of psychopathology going on with all of that, and certainly the videos that we see, I mean, are just more horrific, I think, than anything imaginable. And you just think that it's sort of taken, it's really hard, to understand how anybody can do that. But maybe we have to work out, I mean, is it just sort of being psychopaths, or is it actually that they've seen, they see the West or whatever as having done really awful things, and it's kind of a natural reaction, or what? I mean, how do you?
I think it is a combination of all these factors. It can't just be one. You see that there have been bad things done, not just by the West but by the East also. And so different pockets of people who've been impacted by those things feel very angry and bitter. And it's not just ISIS, but you'll see that in communities everywhere. And so I'm seeing that that's all part of that same story of the culmination of sorrow, not just evil, but the impact of evil has been sorrow. And so it's the culmination of sorrow. And if today I were to turn in a different direction and I were to say, what are the lessons I've learned from all this? And what is it that I can do in myself today? One of the things that's happened is that where there's been an oppressor and a victim, I would have thought that having gone through that experience of oppression, the victim would say, well, now let me deal with others with compassion. But that's not been the case very often. It's very strange, but you've seen it and I've seen it also. The victim, once the situation changes and they come to a point where they then become the perpetrator, and there are others who are victims, and at first I didn't understand this at all.
No, it happens in so many levels, with child abuse it happens.
That's right, it happens in nations, and it happens even in historical terms. Yeah. So I think that this is what's going on in terms of souls that really have that weakness in which there's revenge being sought. Just today I was reading something, that's right, it was a quote from Einstein that came my way. And the quote was that a weak individual will seek revenge, but when there's a strong individual, then they'll be able to forgive. But if there's a really powerful, wise individual, they'll be able to go beyond it.
Beyond forgiveness?
Beyond remembering.
Beyond
remembering.
I remember once, though, it reminds me of, I spoke just after the terrible Rwandan massacre in 1994, and I was then, a year later, and I spoke to this amazing woman who had lost 37 members of her family. She was extraordinary, and we went to the area where her relatives had been buried, and I said, God, how can you ever forgive the people that did this to your family, or can you forgive? And she said, how can I forgive when they haven't even said sorry? And I thought that was a really quite good, it's like we're expecting her to kind of be all sort of, you know, cool about it and forgive and start the reconciliation, but the people who did it at that time hadn't even either owned up to it or said sorry. You know, it's a process, isn't it? It's expecting a lot of people just to turn the other cheek, isn't it?
But there's a feeling when you're able to forgive that you're not doing the other a favor, but you're setting yourself free. And yes, it takes a lot of deep spiritual understanding and the ability to process things to come to that stage. But until I've been able to forgive and let go, I'm always going to be in bondage to that. And there has to come a moment when I say, I want to have my own freedom, and I'm going to let go.
Thank you very much. I see Sarah hovering there, so I imagine we've run out of time.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Absolutely fascinating. I think there's a lot of overlap between psychiatry and spiritual wisdom and the things you've observed, just observing human nature and seeing it all around the world. So just to recap a little, I think what we heard from both of you, Jenty, you were saying that we somehow, when we're looking at the things that divide us, are really on the outside, but when we together take that inner journey and have a love, the thing that you felt was common was that people did have a love for the divine and the values that they share. There was a sense that it is a time of extreme darkness, but possibly it's the hour just before the dawn, which is the thing that gives us hope, which obviously we do need to keep going. And this sense of a connection with God, and I really loved your story, Emily, of when you heard Daddy, and you conjured up this image of Daddy being like an electrical engineer stripping away the insulation. Yes, that she said it. So Daddy stripping away this insulation. And we may ask her more about that, because she clearly knows how to make a connection. And I think really that question that you've left us with is, how can I hold, what is the vision that I hold of the other? Can I really see them as my brother? And the inner work that takes is something that will set us free if we are able to even forget any slight hurt or something. But it is spiritual work, which I think Daddy can give us some pointers on, because I'm sure we all feel at times we take slights, or we feel hurt, or we give sorrow, or we take sorrow, and it's happening on a grand scale. So I think as individuals, how can we even rise above that? So thank you both very, very much for a fascinating conversation and for allowing us to listen in. Okay, thank you. So it does now give me great pleasure to introduce Daddy Janki, who's the chief of the Brahma Kumaris. She's these days based in India. She did spend many years in England, based here in London, and travelling the world. I've been told that Daddy's visited 88 countries. So it looks like Jenty's 4 countries ahead of Daddy's. Maybe we'll have to get Daddy to 4 more countries. Daddy said to me yesterday that she always likes to see my smiling face, which was very sweet. But the thing about that is, Daddy sees my smiling face because I'm looking at her, and she makes me smile. And she makes me smile because she is, in her 99th year, a real amazing example of someone. And we know that her body doesn't always cooperate, you can imagine. It's a time of life where things aren't working properly anymore. But you can see the absolute determination and the spirit that she has, that she wants to keep sharing, she wants to keep helping people. And she has a very deep secret, and I think her secret of how she takes power, we've all witnessed this, that she's able to overcome many, many obstacles, a lot of pain, anything that is in her mind. She knows how to take power from God, and this is her deep secret, and she loves to share it. So tonight I think she's coming up somewhere. She's behind me. She'll be coming onto the stage from somewhere, and we're looking forward to her being able to share that deep secret that she has with us. And translating for her, and hopefully keeping her on track, will be Sister Munda. Sister Munda, again, is a very special person who runs the Global Retreat Centre in Oxford and has known Daddy for many, many years. And we'll be... So the indomitable spirit of Daddy. You'll have to also pardon her. She's had a bit of a cough. She's got a bit of a cough, but she won't let that stop her either. Okay. And Sister Hansa, who's her faithful companion, we could say, her nurse, her bodyguard, her friend. So Hansa's brought her from India and has been helping her to share her wisdom with us. So,
Stella, पैर अपना काम भी करते हैं पर जो हम करते हैं ना दुनिया को एक बनाना वो भी जानती है ना.
So Sarah does her own work outside, her professional work, but she also does this work that Daddy does, which is of bringing people together,
okay,
making everybody one.
38 years has done this.
And Daddy's known Sarah for 38 years.
Jinti, bhen aur bhen kya, samaj sunte, मुझे लगता था मैं ब्याह क्या बोलूं इतनी अच्छी अच्छी बातें सुनाई.
Listening to the conversation of my two sisters, I was wondering to myself, what can I say? They were saying such beautiful things.
मैं तो सिर्फ तीन बारी ओम शांति बोलेंगी पहले.
Well, one of the first things I'm going to do is make you all say Om Shanti three times. Om Shanti is a greeting of peace, and those of you who come here regularly know that it's something that Daddy does. So Daddy will speak.
Hey, Daddy.
You can all hear me, right? She's worried that you can't hear. You can all hear, okay? Good.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Sabe, Christos kare ne bola.
Sadhu
beno ne bola. Bhi sabhi bolo Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Dunya ko अपना फैमिली समझना बहुत अच्छा है.
It's a very good thing to do, actually, to consider the world to be our family.
फैमिली में सभी बहन भाई है.
In our family, all are our brothers and sisters.
माँ बाप एक ही है.
And yet there's only one parent.
Wonderful.
Who is the mother and the father. But that one is wonderful.
आप सभी जो मानते हैं समझते हैं आप सब मेरे बहन भाई हो हमारा माँ बाप एक है हाथ उठाओ.
Those of you who understand and who accept that we're brothers and sisters and that we have only one parent who is our mother and father, raise your hand. There are some, maybe you don't understand the question because you're not raising your hand. So are your parents different to my parents, my spiritual parents?
Sabhi aapas mein aise ek do ko aise mushkura ke dekho.
So when we have that consciousness, then we look at each other with spiritual vision, with a smile. So Daddy says you should turn to each other, the next to you, and you should do that. Look at each other with a spiritual vision. You can do it on both sides, not just on one side.
Tinwari. ओम शांति से ले कहती हूँ ये एक अंगुली में बहुत काम है.
I say Om Shanti three times with different meanings, but when I raise this first finger, there's a lot of significance involved in that.
शब्द बहुत नहीं बोलेंगे, बस मैंने देखा जब ये बोल रहे थे ना करी करी ऐसे बोल.
I won't say too many words, but when they were speaking, I was seeing that they were both using their hands a lot.
जी जी बाजू बैठा Many.
But that's what Daddy does, points a finger upwards.
May kaun? Mera kaun?
So who am I? Who is mine?
Mujhe kya karna hai?
And what do I have to do? These are the three reasons why Daddy says, not to think too much and not to worry about anything.
Chinta hoti hai, kaun karega, kaise hoga?
We normally tend to worry about what's going to happen, who's going to do it, how's it going to happen.
Chintan mein pata nahi kaha se kaha chintan chala jayenge.
And then when we're thinking excessively, we think so much that we kind of in our minds go from one place to another so far.
Time, money, jo kharch karte hai, energy so waste ja rahi hai.
So the time, the money, the energy that we spend is all wasted when you're thinking too much.
Pehli tarikh se lekar ke 12 din se abhi tak mera birthday bana rahe hai. Maine time, money, energy waste nahi kiya, safala kiya.
So from the 1st of January, which we consider Daddy's, to be Daddy's official birthday, so she's saying that from the 1st of January until now, they've been celebrating my birthday. They've been using time, money, energy, but I wouldn't say that they've been wasting it.
Time waste nahi.
The time is not being wasted.
Jab sun rahi thi, tera time waste nahi tha, par duniya mein एक फैमिली कैसे बनाए, कितना बराबरी अच्छा चल रहा, कन्वर्सेशन चल रहा था.
We were listening to the two sisters talking and they were having a very beautiful conversation about how we can make the world a better place.
सभी को इंटरेस्ट आ रहा.
Were you all interested in what was being said? Was it interesting for you?
अभी क्या करेंगे?
So what are you going to do now?
कैसे अपना ये अंदर की भावना, दुनिया को एक समझना, अपनी फैमिली समझना.
So this inner feeling that's been generated inside of you to consider the family, to the world to be one,
simple
and this to be our family. It's a very simple thing.
बहुत लिखना पढ़ना भी नहीं है.
This is not something very long and complicated that you have to read and write about.
किसके कमरे में जाओ ना, बहुत बुक्स, फाइल, पलाराटिया. मेरे कमरे में जाओ, एक बुक भी रखा नहीं है.
And you go to some people's rooms, they have so many books and files and this and that and the other. Come to my room, there's nothing there.
कुछ भी नहीं. टेबल कुर्सी रखा नहीं है जो मैं मेज के लिखूं.
I don't even have a desk and a chair in my room that I'd have to sit at it and write something or read something.
एक हमारे बाबा की वाणी है, मुरली है, क्यों परमात्मा मेरा माता है, पिता है, टीचर है, शिक्षक है, शिक्षक टीचर सखा है, सतगुरु है.
There is one thing that I do have, and that is the reading, the teachings that we have, that we call the Murali, and that I do have, because through that I begin to understand and experience that God is my mother, my father, my teacher, my friend, my companion, my everything.
मैं इंग्लिश तो जानती नहीं हूँ, मैं क्या बोलूँगी? तो मैंने सोचा मैं क्या बोलूँगी? मैं कहूँगी मेरा माता पिता शिक्षक सखा सतगुरु तुमको पसंद है, तुम भी सब ऐसे समझो ना, तो तुम भी इतने अच्छे बन जाएंगे, बिना कोई खर्च के, बिना कोई मेहनत के. मेरे को दादी कहते हैं, आपको दादा कह देंगे, दादी दादा.
So when they were speaking, I was thinking, well, I don't know English, what can I say? I can't say anything much. The only thing that I can say is that God is my mother, my father, my friend, my companion. And you like this idea too? Well, you can start doing this as well. And then you will become so good, your life will be transformed so much, you'll become so beautiful.
आप तो न्यूज़पेपर पढ़ेंगे, टेलीविजन देखेंगे, दुनिया की खबरें बुद्धि में, मैंने कभी भी या चाहे भारत में टेलीविजन हमारे पास नहीं है।
सो यू विल वॉच टेलीविजन, रीड न्यूज़पेपर्स एंड नो द न्यूज़ ऑफ द वर्ल्ड एंड व्हाट्स हैपनिंग इन द वर्ल्ड, व्हेदर इट्स हियर और इन इंडिया, आई डू नॉट वॉच टेलीविजन।
कभी भी न्यूज़पेपर या हमारे हाथ में नहीं होगा।
I never pick up a newspaper.
किसी ने कहा मेरे को बहुत पुरानी बात है, कहा तुम न्यूज़पेपर पढ़ेंगी ना तुमको दुनिया का पता चलेगा।
Somebody said to me a long time ago, if you read the newspaper, it will be a good thing because then you'll know what's happening in the world.
मैं तो चले पाती हूँ, दुनिया का पता चलना चाहिए।
And this person said to Daddy, well, I read the newspaper because I think we should know about what's happening in the world.
अच्छा, तो मैंने सोचा रात को टेलीविजन देखकर सोएंगे, सुबह को न्यूज़पेपर पढ़ेंगे, उनकी बुद्धि में क्या होगा?
So I was thinking about this, that they go to bed having watched television at night, they wake up in the morning and read the newspaper. What must there be in their heads?
मंगा बहन, हमको कितना साल हो गया बिरमा को मारी बने? 78 years हो गया। हाँ, पर मुझे उसके पहले भी नहीं कभी देखा, कभी नहीं देखा अखबार। किसी ने कहा पढ़ के देख, मैं तुम क्यों कहा कम से कम पता तो चलेगा आज सिनेमा कल से आने वाली है, उनमें कौन सा था? मुझे अच्छा।
So Nadi herself has been on a committed spiritual journey since 1978. Sorry, not since, for 78 years Nadi's been on this journey, and she says she hasn't ever watched television or since then, or probably even before then. And somebody said to Daddy, but you should know what's happening, what the latest movies are, and what's going on in terms of the movie world. We should know, we can know that from the newspapers too.
74 May. अप्रैल मास में जयंती बेद मुझे कहा मैं हमारे भारत में बोला बरों ने तो जयंती तुमको लंदन जाना चाहिए, कहा मैं लंदन नहीं जाएंगी, क्यों लंदन का नाम सुनो माना देखो तो सही।
When in 1974 Sister Jayanti had been asked to come to the UK, she didn't want to come because she said, London, what's happening in London? She didn't want to come. So then she said, when she was given the instructions to come by our elders in India, she said she will only go if Daddy Janki goes with her.
तुमको लंदन जाना है जयंती का।
And so then I was given the instructions that I have to go with Jayanti.
Jayanti ने का फादर यहाँ बैठा है, पुली दादा।
Sister Jayanti's father is also sitting here.
कहा इसके पास नहीं रहेंगी।
And she said she wanted to stay with Daddy and not in her home.
क्यों? क्यों?
Why? That is asking her why.
ये English जानती, मैं तो English नहीं जानती।
Why? Because she knows English, I don't speak English.
सर मुझे ओम शांति कहना आता
है। I only know one thing, and that is to say how to say ओम शांति।
आत्मा तू शांत रहो।
And that means, hey soul, you are the embodiment of peace.
परमात्मा आलमेटी तेरा बाप है।
God, the Almighty, is your father.
तो दृष्टि नहीं पहले वृत्ति स्मृति दृष्टि सारी आज ग्लोबल हाउस में सारा हॉल फुल बैठा है।
And so it's your attitude, your awareness and your vision that then generates what's outside of you. And that's why you see this place as you see today.
Mere ben bhai, aap sochte to sahi na.
You are my brothers and sisters, think about it.
Ajay, main samajhti hoon, hum April mein aaye the. तो जयंती अगस्त में गई नहीं गया ना आंटी बैठी है अगस्त में दो चार महीने में निमंत्रण मिला था वहां से गया से जयंती चली गई अब मैं अकेली जा सुदेश बहन को बुलाया.
So then it was in April that Daddy had come with Sister Jayanti, and Sister Jayanti went off to Guyana with a special invitation that had come in the month of August, and someone else had to be invited from India, otherwise Daddy would have been left alone, and Sister Sudesh came from India. Daddy, aaj ke vishay ke upar suna ho na? Aaj ke vishay ke upar suna?
Aaj ke vishay par na? To ye bhavna thi na? To ye main yahan मुझे भगवान ने भेजा है अभी क्या क्यों क्या क्वेश्चन नहीं था.
So my inner feeling had been that God has sent me here, and so no questions about why and what and how.
शब्द का भी पता नहीं था.
In those days I didn't even know these English words, positive or negative.
तभी का है.
Balwant is also since that time.
तो positive माना ही क्या है?
What does it mean to be positive?
ये सब positive सोचना, बोलना, देखना, कमाल देखो.
So what you are seeing here is a wonder of thinking, seeing, speaking.
अभी इसको आंटी कहते हैं. क्यों आंटी अंकल? अंकल वहाँ का है कमिश्नर है ना? फिर भारत में उसी पोजीशन में आया था.
So
हम इनको अंकल आंटी.
आंटी सिटिंग हियर, वी कॉल हर आंटी. आंटी ऑफ द एंटायर स्पिरिचुअल फैमिली. शी इज फ्रॉम गयाना.
सारे करीबन में इतनी सेवा की है अंकल ने.
व्हेन सिस्टर जयंती वाज देयर एंड अंकल
कनाडा में इतनी सेवा की.
Who was from Guyana at that time, who was I forget the official title he had at that time.
So
the vice president at the time. So the family came into the contact and service has happened in the Caribbean since that time. And the only
we are one family.
Doesn't require translation now.
Bolo.
The service.
We are one family. Tum aise nahi. We are one family.
So we are one family, not to look at others and say you are this and you are that and I am this, but we're one family.
Dekho, panch angli barabar nahi hoti.
You see that these five fingers are not the same.
Par ek angli bhi na hoye नहीं हो सकता.
But even if you had one finger missing, it wouldn't be the same.
हमारी दृष्टि वृत्ति में हम सब मिलकर के एक श्रीमत से एक मत.
In our attitude and our vision, we have to be aware that we have to follow the instructions of the one divine. And by doing that, we can become one. Not to follow different directions from many others, but only from the one divine. One is to have the instructions of one's own mind that are born out of ego. The other is to listen to the ideas and opinions of others that are born out of other people's ego. And then third also is the instructions that come as a result of other people's ideas and notions, which might even be called as scriptures if you like. But all of these are different ideas.
अपने पोजीशन पैसे की मत.
The other is also the speaking of our mind, of ideas and opinions that come as a result of our position in the world or status in the world, financial status or otherwise. In India we have this custom that we fold our hands in front of others.
Itna muskura ke namaste mana.
When we smile and we say namaste, it means we bow to the divine in the other.
Then hum kya karenge? Right hand do. East or west? Hum aisa best.
And then east or west, we are the best. Or east and west.
मुझे भारत से आए 10 दिन हुआ आके
दो सप्ताह 15 दिन
दो सप्ताह में इतने सब family sorry
Nadi's been here for 15 days now and all of you have been invited just within that time and all of you have become present. Why? Because we're part of the same family.
मुझे शाम को पता चला अभी ऑडिटोरियम में ये सब हाजिर होने वाले हैं.
It was only in the evening that it registered in me that all of you are going to be present this evening.
World is family.
The world is our family.
सभी को मंजूर है.
Do you all accept this? That the world is our family? Yes.
Tali bajao. Family hai. Hum family hai. Par ego attachment se free hai.
We are a family and we're free from ego and attachment.
Mere kare tali se maine bajayi. Par main abhi batao ego attachment se free hai.
So you applauded just because I asked you to, but now tell me, are you free from ego and attachment?
ego, E-G-O, kharab hai, egoless, voiceless. Nirakari, nirvikari, nirankari vanna.
We have to become egoless, viceless, and practice the state of being incorporeal without the consciousness of the body.
Bari bari baatein nahi hai.
These are not big things.
So nirakari.
But firstly, to practice being incorporeal.
Atma sharir mein hai.
And that means the awareness of the self as a spiritual being. The soul resides inside this physical body, but there is no ego and there is no attachment.
Attachment and the dukhi banata.
It's our attachment that causes sorrow inside.
Ego, attachment. Oh, lobha ko kya kehte ho?
Greed.
Wo bhi.
So ego, attachment, but greed. It's also always wanting.
Mujhe nahi chahiye.
Nope, I don't want anything.
Mere haath mein kabhi purse nahi hoga.
I never carry a purse in my hand.
Jinti ka purse nahi hota.
I don't carry handbag. That is saying Sister Jinti doesn't have it, but I think she hasn't seen her.
Baki, mujhe ring bhi nahi hai.
But she does, Daddy doesn't wear any jewelry either.
Kagaz ka.
Only a tissue.
Like a badge.
But what she does have as a prized possession is this badge.
Yeah, mera pratish hai binna. Tumhara hai Om Shanti, mera hai Shiv Shakti.
So So this badge has a little pin at the top. She says, yours is different to mine. And yours says Om Shanti on the top in this little pin. And hers says Shiv Shakti. It means the power of God. So hers is better than mine.
Jisko ye banna ho na, banna ho Lakshmi Narayan jaisa. Man lakshan aise ho, jo karm aise kare, jo usko dekh karke manushya roop mein khushta dikhai pare.
So in this, on this badge, there is this image of these divine beings who represent really a balanced way of life, a perfect lifestyle, a perfect way of life. And so we have to have the aim to become like that through the practice of meditation, through the practice of Om Shanti. And in order to become like that, we also have to be aware that we have to change our character. We have to make our character divine. Then when our character becomes divine, then we become like those divine beings, perfect beings. And so those divine beings that are like angels.
Sarah.
What is to be done now, Sarah?
Well, now, Daddy, I think people would like to experience what you've been sharing with them, so we thought we'd have some meditation. And Munda will lead us in the commentary.
Meditation kare, aapne jo jab bataya uska. Okay, that's enough?
Yes.
Don't kar sakti ho na.
So you can do this, can't you?
It's our family.
This is our family.
Khushi hai na.
So there's happiness.
So na panch, ek baar sunati ho.
One more thing.
Ye choti hai, ye moti.
So these five fingers are not the same. This is tiny, this is small, and this one's big.
Paranto, ye
But the little finger is the finger of cooperation.
मैंने कहा आज का प्रोग्राम किसने बनाया? किसने बनाया?
I was asking.
सबके अंगुली से.
Who organized today's program? But in fact, it would happen as a result of everybody's finger of cooperation.
ये संयोग के.
So the second finger is the finger, a symbol of a victory, because we use it to anoint ourselves with the tilak of victory.
Yeah, wisdom.
The third finger of wisdom.
Yeah, no, kaam nahi chalta.
And the first finger is the finger that points towards God, towards upwards, and nothing can happen without that.
Yeah, moti.
This one is a big finger, big thumb.
चारों को मिला दिया.
And it's the one that brings all the others together.
First class program.
So then, when everybody comes together, then it's a first class event.
Yeah, oh yeah. अपना दर्शन करा.
Let there be determined thought. It was Hansa who had this determined thought that she wanted to bring Daddy to London. Sister Jayanti's thought that Daddy has to come, Hansa's thought we have to go, and my thought I have to be present.
Jayanti, man, 40 saal shiva ko ho gaya. Abhi aaj jaisi sabha. Kiski kamal hai.
So it's 40 years of service of the Brahma Kumaris here in the UK this year, and in the honor of that, all of you are here. Such a beautiful gathering.
Sabhi sabhi ki. Dekh, abhi light kam nahi kare meditation mein. Kyunki sabhi So we're going to have some meditation now, but Daddy doesn't want the lights to go down because Daddy wants to be able to see your faces. So what is meditation? What is it?
Peace, love, happiness, power.
That's it? That's what meditation is. When you really practice meditation, then the heart, that it may become broken into many pieces, that becomes one, it becomes united, and there is peace. We used to have that image of the three monkeys, talk no evil, see no evil, hear no evil.
Paramatma Bap ne kaha, think no evil.
So then God also says, think no evil.
Simple.
It's a very simple thing.
Think
no evil. Okay, so music's already started, so let's go on a little journey to explore some of the things that Daddy's been speaking about. Those of you who are here for the first time, we meditate with eyes open, because meditation is a very natural thing. It's something that we all do, but we're just doing it on something specific right now. So keep your eyes open, and I would recommend that you rest your eyes on Daddy's forehead and Daddy's eyes, because the eyes are the windows of the soul. And as you rest your eyes, then not only is there the exchange of vibration taking place, but it also gives you a place to rest your eyes so that you can naturally go into an experience. Can you put the lights up a little bit, because Daddy wants to be able to see everyone's faces? Are you able to see Daddy okay? Karte hai light upar Daddy. So, sit comfortably, relaxed and alert. Comfortable so that you don't become distracted by the discomfort of your body. Alert, not forced, but alert, so that you're able to direct your mind in a very conscious way. Become aware of yourself seated in this seat, and your body is held by the chair, and you can let go, in a sense. Know that you will be supported physically. Make sure that you are relaxed. Become conscious of your thoughts. Your thought is your energy. And while usually we think that thoughts just come, just for the next few moments, we're going to take charge of our thoughts and use our thoughts to take us into an experience and a feeling about the self. My thought is the thought that I am a spiritual being, a conscient, living, thinking energy that resides inside this physical body.
and I am this metaphysical energy that is the energy of complete peace. When I'm not looking out around me, when I'm not being distracted by matter and its duality as well as its attraction, I remain centered inside myself. Myself as this being of peace, a peace in which there is complete harmony inside myself. And the goodness that I seek, when I'm at one with that goodness, I'm at peace. I'm in peace. I am with peace. And as I become conscious of this, I also become conscious of others as that. The conscient, living, thinking beings of peace. Light and love emerge within me. And it is in this space, with this sense, that I begin to become free from the ties and pulls of matter. And I become open and ready to connect with my eternal parent, also just a metaphysical being, a being of unconditional love, a being of peace, a being of light. As I think about my eternal parent, my mother, who's ready to receive me no matter what, it is as if I am held in the energy of love, acceptance. I don't have to be anything. I just have to be. And my eternal parent is ready and available to me, and his vibration and his love and his light cleanses, washes me, the soul. And I'm able to recognize the beauty that lies inside myself. The beauty that can then be generated through my eyes, through my words, through my vibration. And others are touched by that. Best of others emerges from within them, and we become one. We realize we are one. We are one family, held by this thread of love, the pure love. Shanti.
Om Shanti. And really, it's in that silence that we are one. And I think Daddy's speciality is not only the words she speaks, but the energy she emits. And she's vibrating on a different frequency that takes us all beyond with her. So the very special gift of her presence, which we all appreciate. So thank you so much, Daddy, for sharing. And thank you, Munda, for taking us into the love that is the love of souls for souls and souls for God. So my last task tonight is just to tell you of a few things. If you've enjoyed yourself here tonight and felt that you'd like to taste some more, there is a couple of events that we'd like to invite you to. One is a follow-up to the pantomime. Did any of you come to see Wandaria? Fantastic, wasn't it? Just a really good play. and lots of schools came. So there is a follow-up to this event. It's on Sunday, this Sunday, from 2 to 5:30 p.m. And it's called Oh, the Places You'll Go. Okay, so it's a family event, and it'll be a lot of fun, lots of creative things. And so if you like the pantomime, you'll like that. And if you would like to learn with a little more tuition and a bit more depth, really the Raj Yoga method of meditating, how you can strip away the insulation from the wire and make that connection very strong, there's the Starter's Guide to Raj Yoga, and that's on Saturday, the 28th of February, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So that's a whole day here, and the vegetarian lunch is included, yummy food. That's always an incentive. And but you do have to register for that. But if you thought, actually, I'd like to really learn a bit more about how to connect with myself, how to be still, how to feel that connection with the power above, then that's the course for you. Okay, and there's a lovely bookshop at the entrance. I guess some of you saw it, and that will be open. And there are several books by Daddy, and this one in particular has been recommended. Very nice title, Is There Another Way? Okay, I was having a little peek at it, and I thought, now what are the chapters here? Daddy on Being a Better You, Daddy on Relationships, Daddy on Work, Daddy on Healing the World, Getting to Know God. So that sounds like an interesting read, doesn't it, if you're curious and you'd like to hear more from Daddy. So I'd just like to thank all of you for coming. It's been a lovely evening, lots of food for thought. I'd like to thank the people who were behind the scenes, the ushers who are around, the backstage, the sound people, Toots and Izzy, and people who've been helping pull the program together, and our speakers, Emily Buchanan and Sister Genty. Thank you very much for your contributions. And do come again. We'll have more events like this, and you're most welcome. And we're very, very lucky, because the final thing is that Daddy is going to share with us tonight a little... Oh, she's not. Oh, sorry. I was told she was. Anyway, she'll do it subtly. Okay. So Daddy will take her leave from us, and then... Who will be giving Tolly then? Sister Genty. Okay. So we have a tradition in the house of sharing a sweet called Tolly, and that sweet is the symbol of God's love. And we'd invite you to come and take this sweet from Sister Genty. There is a song, and she might like to hear the song. So she'll give a drishti during the song. So we're going to finish now with a lovely song sung by Krishna. And this song is very pertinent to this evening's proceedings. It's called I Am Light by India Ari, and Krishma is singing it for us. So we'll have the song. Daddy would like to share her vibrations with you while the song is being sung, and then Sister Jente will share Toli. So, Om Shanti and good.
I am light, I am light. 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 I am not the things my family did. I am not the pieces in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. 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 I'm not the mistakes that I have made, or any of the things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dreams I left behind. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am light, I am light. I am light, I am light. I am not the color of my eyes. I am not the skin on the outside. I am not my age, I am not my race. My soul inside is all light. All light. All light. All light. I am light, I am light. Divinity defined. I am with God on the inside. I am a star, a piece of it all.